Ave Maria, welcome back to No Apologies. I'm Friar Joseph, and today we're going to take one final look at the Jehovah's Should You Believe in the Trinity. We've already looked at reason, and we've looked at the Church Fathers, and we've begun our search through sacred scripture. Today we'll continue to take a look at the Bible. And Jehovah's attempt to refute the Trinity by appealing to scripture in three ways. They first try to prove that Jesus was not God, which we've already dealt with in episodes 72 and 73. And they secondly try to prove that the Holy Spirit is not a person. Then lastly, they try to discredit Bible verses which Christians use to support the Trinity. Today we'll take up those last two points. So Jehovah's claim that the Holy Spirit is not a person or divine, but an active force. And the booklet quotes from Catholic encyclopedias and a Catholic theologian saying that the Old Testament doesn't teach the personhood of the Holy Spirit. And we point out that although many Old Testament verses are direct references to the Holy Spirit, it's not in the Old Testament but in the New Testament that we find the personhood of the Holy Spirit explicitly revealed. We can look in the Acts of the Apostles, chapter 5, verse 3 through 4, the account of Ananias lying to the church, where again St. Peter tells him, Ananias, why has Satan filled your heart to lie to the Holy Spirit and keep back part of the proceeds of the land? Then further on says, you have not lied to men, but to God. So St. Peter equates lying to the Holy Spirit with lying to God, which supports both his divinity and his personhood. Also in the Acts of the Apostles, chapter 13, verse 2, we read, while they were worshiping the Lord and fasting, the Holy Spirit said, set apart for me Barnabas and Saul for the work which I have called them. So a non-personal active force could not speak to or directly will his disciples act as a person with a will and who can initiate is able to do so. And also in St. Paul's letter to the Romans, chapter 8, verse 26 and 27, we read, likewise the Spirit helps us in our weakness, for we do not know how to pray as we ought, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us with sighs too deep for words. And he who searches the hearts of men knows what is the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for the saints according to the will of God. So St. Paul tells us that the Holy Spirit intercedes for the saints, whereas an impersonal active force could not initiate and plead for us in the way that Scripture here is describing it. He possesses his own personhood. In many other verses in the New Testament, we see the personal attributes of the Holy Spirit. He teaches the truth. He testifies for Christ. He scrutinizes and knows the mysteries of God. He foretells future events. He appoints bishops. He distributes gifts as he wills. And he can even be grieved, as we read from St. Paul's letter to the Ephesians. All of which confirm that the Holy Spirit is a person and not just a vague, active, ambiguous force. So lastly, the Jehovah's attempt to discredit traditional Bible verses which Christians hold to reveal the Trinity, the main passage being the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 28, verse 19, where just before our Lord ascends into heaven, he commissions his apostles to go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. So the Jehovah say that this doesn't support the Trinity, but they hold simply because it mentions the three names together, it doesn't mean that they all share the same Godhead. And they confirm their position by pointing out that elsewhere in the Bible, there are passages which read the names Peter, James, and John together, but that doesn't mean that they are one entity. So we respond that this is really grasping for straw, especially when the verse is considered within its context. The apostles here are commissioned to make all nations Christ's disciples. That is to take place through the sacrament of baptism. St. Mark and St. John tell us that this sacrament of baptism is necessary for salvation. So this passage is telling us that we become Christians and we are saved in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. So salvation is from God alone. Therefore, all three must be equally God. And that is indicated by the fact that the word name is singular, showing their unique oneness while at the same time maintaining their distinct personhood. So it makes no sense to compare the casual grouping of three people in a passing narrative with the solemn grouping of the three divine persons within the context of bringing all men to salvation to the end of time. So then we conclude with the Jehovah's, should you believe in the Trinity, by maintaining our position that yes, you should. It's clearly taught by the Church Fathers. The Jehovah's arguments against the Trinity are unreasonable and in most cases are dishonest, and the Trinity has been revealed beyond any shadow of a doubt within sacred scripture. So thanks for joining me here on No Apologies. Ave Maria.